Of Proverbs chapter 1. I'm going to read the first four verses of the book of Proverbs, and I'll try to finish these four verses. There's a lot of stuff I looked at and dug out, got to the place, and I thought, well, we'll take two or three more weeks on them first four verses, but we'll never get out of the book of Proverbs if we don't get to moving a little faster. And so I pray tonight that God might help us. Now, the book of Proverbs is helpful and can strengthen your heart. Whether you be a young person, whether you be a boy, a girl, a young lady, or a young man, an adult, a husband, a wife, a mother, or a father, it just helps every area because the Proverbs deals with everything. It deals with the things in your life that you have to face every day. It deals with things in your life that you have to face sometimes, and you won't nobody read that book of Proverbs and not find something that it won't fit your life in more than one place. And if it hadn't done it today, it'll do it again tomorrow in a different area of your life. So the Word of God is what we need to go to. We've looked at it. So let's look at Proverbs chapter 1. You won't have to stand. Let's just chapter 1. We'll read first four verses. And then get into it tonight. The Bible said the Proverbs, chapter 1, verse 1, of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. We talked about who that is. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice and judgment and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. Now, I want to pray and ask God's leadership. Father, give us wisdom. Help us, Lord, to say that which we need to say, no more, no less. Lord, may we tonight lift and exalt the Lord Jesus. We'll give you the praise and the glory. Thank you for the words of the book of Proverbs that can help and strengthen our soul. God, we give you the glory and the honor for it. And I pray tonight we go out of the building and say it's been good to be in the house of God. We picked up something. It strengthened us, helped us, encouraged us. Our Lord brought us to our knees. We thank you tonight for the word of the living God that's so, Lord, alive. Lord, that it moves on hearts and lives. Convict of sin. Stir hearts. We'll give you the glory for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I said a while ago, it'll deal with every subject. I guess the book of Proverbs, the last chapter of the book of Proverbs, deals with the mother more than any other book of the Bible, wouldn't you say, that last chapter? And I was thinking about that, and I thought about Solomon. He's wrote these Proverbs and give them, and I don't know, thinking about, or at least ever who wrote it, I think it don't give it to Solomon, but whoever wrote it thought about their mother, and whoever was thought they had a very good mother. Now, we appreciate that, and God can lay it out straight. Matter of fact, He knows how to put it to us. Now, you remember in the first lesson we talked about the periods and semicolons and colons in here. And we're actually, the first four verses is one sentence in the way that we look at punctuation. Because it's one subject. Matter of fact, the first four verses deals with Proverbs. And verse 5 deals with the wise man. And goes down to the wise man, give him a little bit. We'll deal with that. We'll get that on next thought. But looking tonight for these things, I want to talk about wisdom. Now, there's a lot of kinds of wisdom. Sometimes you can have wisdom and think you got wisdom when you don't have wisdom. Sometimes people think that they're wise and they're unwise. I'll prove that to you tonight. Some people think that they know it all and they don't know nothing. And some people don't think they know anything, and they know more than they think they know. Now, I've dealt with a lot of people tonight down through the years. Some of them, some people that think they're so smart in everything. You can be smart and still be stupid. Amen. Now, that's just plain terms. And I hope you find where you are. I do believe that if you have any wisdom at all, one of the first things you won't do is brag about your wisdom. If you're going around talking about how smart you are and what you know, amen, that's a danger. Some of the preachers sometimes, it's amazing that some of these preachers know so much and they know that they know so much. and a preacher that knows he knows it ain't much good. Amen. That's why I try to keep reading my Bible, because every time I read it, I find out so much more that I don't know. Amen. And it gives me a desire to go read it more. So we're looking tonight at the Proverbs. And I want to look at that word wisdom in verse number 2. Proverbs will give you wisdom. Proverbs, I said before, is little short sentences that convey a moral truth to a concise point in your life, to kind of put it out to where you can see it. So in verse number 2, he said, to know wisdom and instruction. I would say tonight, since the Lord separated it, there's a difference between wisdom and instruction. And I pointed out these words before when I was on it. The word perceive in that same verse, and the word understanding in that same verse. And then the word instruction in verse number 3 that we're going to deal with in verse 2 tonight as well. But I will see these things in wisdom. Now wisdom, what is it? If you look it up, it's intelligence. But you can be intelligent and not have wisdom. Anybody's got wisdom has some intelligence. Amen. They might not be able to how to write their name now, by the way. And don't you look at that in a bad way. I know some that can't write their name and can't speak plain, but they got more sense than some people have that's been to college. Amen. That's right. At least they know how to get out of the rain. Some college folks can't. Now, I'm not knocking that. I wish I had more education. I'm not against education. But if my education is going to get in my way of serving God, it's a problem. And yours too. So it's intelligence. Not only is wisdom intelligence, but it's understanding, which we're going to deal with. You can have understanding, and everybody that's got wisdom is going to have some understanding. But everybody that's got understanding is not necessarily wise. Now, this may sound contrary tonight and, contradictory, but it's not. We got to have it right. I believe if you look this up, you'll find the word wisdom means insight. It means perception. It means discernment, common sense, foresight. Now, I'm looking at this, and I hear our Pentecostal friends. I have a lot of them, and I've talked to them, and I don't shun them a whole lot. I just don't agree with them, and they know it, and I'll tell them that I don't agree with them. And that kind of settles everything. But I can say, hello, how are you this morning? How you feel? Did y'all have a good service at church yesterday? As long as you don't talk about church service, you're fine. But you start talking about some of the other things, and they'll start talking about, and they don't talk to me about those things because they know I'm not going to agree with them. And they're not going to agree with me, so I don't waste my time with them. I just greet them and go on. They're going to learn better anyhow one of these days. But a lot goes on today, and they're looking for things, and they're looking for gifts. I do believe there's gifts. I do believe that God gives gifts. Matter of fact, he's given me a lot of gifts. And I'm not talking about Christmas presents. I'm talking about ways of doing things and gifts and things. And you know what? The major one that they're trying to get today is the Holy Ghost of God and speaking in tongues. But there's one of them if I was going to seek after one in particular, and I've said this a lot of times before, but keep this in your mind. I would like to have the discernment of the Spirit so I can know. You know what discernment is? Knowing what's right, what's wrong, what's real, what's not real. If there's ever a time today, it's right now, that we need discernment of the Spirit. Amen. People believe in anything and accept in anything. They hear one thing here from one and over here hear another, and they're switching. Now, I don't mind you hearing everything under the sun. It helps you a little bit. But as long as you're anchored enough to not let one sway you off the beaten path. It must be backed by the Word of God. A lot of people preach things and teach things and tell things, and you got cousins and uncles and sisters and brothers and family members. They'll tell you what they think. Well, it don't It don't amount to a hill of beans what they think. Give me the Bible. Amen. And sometimes we'll misinterpret the scriptures to a certain manner, and I pray that God might help us. Now, this word wisdom is mentioned in 222 verses of the Bible. And out of that, there's 172 of them out of the Old Testament and 50 of them in the New Testament. And so we just look at this thing tonight. So we want to talk about it. And in the book of Exodus, jot this scripture down. I'm not going to go to it, but I'll give you what it tells you. In the Exodus chapter 20 and verse number 3, you'll find that there's the spirit of wisdom. Now, I want the spirit of wisdom. Now, when I say wisdom, I'm not talking about the spirit of the wisdom of the world either. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. Jot these little things down, and this is what's happened. And we're going to look at the scriptures, and you're going to see that tonight. And I pray that God might help us. There's worldly wisdom. There's man's wisdom. There's, and I guess you could call it religious wisdom. There's a lot of people that are religious, and they think they have wisdom, but they don't. And some folks, you know, have what they call educational wisdom because they're smart and know a lot of things. Amen. You can have enough degrees that you could stack them up and make a book out of them, but you can still not have wisdom of God. And then there's even, I believe there's even satanic wisdom, if you will. There's a lot of people that are got wisdom, but it's wisdom of the devil. Now, I'm talking about that, and you say, well, how do we know? There's a godly wisdom, and that's what we want to major on tonight. A Bible wisdom, that which you get from God through the Holy Ghost of God. You better make sure. You said, I'm pretty smart, but how smart are you? Is it real? Does it come from God? Where's your source? Who is your source? Where'd you get it? Amen. And I'll tell you right now, that's why you need to stay in the Word of God. Amen. If you don't stay in that book tonight, you're going to mess up. All right? Let's turn. I believe today there's three places you can get wisdom from below. You can get wisdom from this earth. And you can get wisdom from above. Now, you figure out which we're you want to get it. Amen. Wisdom from below comes up. Wisdom from on the earth is surrounds you. But wisdom from above comes down, and that's what I want. I want the wisdom of God to come down, right? Now, we understand that. Let's hold your place right there. We're going to come back and look at some of these words in a minute. If we have time, I'm not going to... You know, just play around with this. We're going to look at it. We're going to the book of 1 Corinthians. If you want to know about wisdom, I believe the wisdom book of the New Testament. We think the wisdom book of Proverbs. We look at those together. And we get that a little thought. But if you want to know wisdom and how that God means and thinks of wisdom, we'll find it in the first chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians. In chapter 1 and chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians is the wisdom book. Now the Apostle Paul, I believe he was a wise man. I believe he had wisdom from above. And the reason I say that is God allowed him to write 14 books of the New Testament. 14 books of the total 27 that's in the New Testament. And so that means if you divide 27, 14 is going to be one over that. So he has written over half of the New Testament. Imagine that. And God entrusted him with that. God made him wise. He'll tell you he was a fool at one time and believed wrong. But he got right, and God helped him. He was a wise man. Amen. I'd like to have half the knowledge that Paul had and the wisdom. And you know, wise people can make wise decisions. Wise people can give you something to help you. Amen. People who sometimes are wise can give you foolish decisions. Now, let me tell you something. Our problem in our day is, or what I say, I'm just going to talk about me. I don't know about you. But I believe you'll fit in the same bucket. I want to tell you, I have a problem with forgetting what I should remember and remembering what I should forget. You give me some kind of old foolishness, and my flesh likes it, and I'll just keep on remembering it. I know things that has happened. Don't mount the hill of beans. Won't help me grow in the grace of God. Don't help nobody else grow in the grace of God. But I remember that. But the good truths of the Word of God that's helped me and could help me and does help me when it comes across me, I forget them. You forget the good things and remember the bad. Now that's just how we are. So we need to start majoring on what we hear and learn and hold to and cling to it and cling to it like it's all we've got. As a matter of fact, that is right. That's all we've got. Amen. What the world gives me passes off the scene. I mean, what the world teaches me may help me in some little areas of my life, but what God gives me from the Word of God is everlasting, and it's helpful, and it's needful, and I can be a blessing with it. And I can pass it on. Now, 1 Corinthians. We could read the whole chapter, but I'm not going to take the time to do so. So we'll go to verse number 17 and just look at these as we go down. We're talking about the word wisdom. And we're saying that Proverbs gives us wisdom. And I'm saying we need wisdom. You need wisdom. I need wisdom. Now we need the wisdom of God. Now remember, when I'm talking about wisdom tonight, I'm talking about God's wisdom, or the wisdom of God, not the wisdom of the world. Amen. A lot of people have been to 3 or 4 or 5 colleges and they think they're smart, but some of them ain't wise. And some of them are. Amen. But now look what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter number 1 and verse number 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words. There's another wisdom. Wisdom of words. Lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Have you ever heard preachers, and I've seen them, I've heard preachers that I love to listen to. They're comfortable to hear. They explain things. They help me. And then I've heard some that I like to hear them. And when they get through, they hadn't taught me much of nothing. Now, haven't you heard them? Amen. I told you the night the fella preaches, says he preaches an hour every sermon. Every 15 minutes, he starts over and redoes the same message. You hear one preacher here in another place, you'll hear him again. And in one message, you'll hear everything he knows. Because you'll hear him 6 months later and he's preaching the very same thing. Amen. And I believe a preacher ought to study enough to give you something different every time. Now, I repeat myself. I intend to repeat myself. Some things ain't sunk in yet. And I'm still working. I'm trying to drill it in your head. Matter of fact, I'm going to have to quit doing that. Start to see if I can't drill it in your heart. I believe I'm aiming to the wrong place. Fella come out the door and said to the preacher, said, "You sure stepped on my toes." And he said, "I'm sorry." He said, "Don't apologize for preaching." He said, "Oh, I'm going to apologize. I wasn't aiming for your feet. I was aiming for your heart." Amen. And I just missed the mark. So we got to get the crosshairs right. Amen. And so I need to start trying to drill on your mind to get it down into your heart. So I pray tonight that God might help us. And Paul's saying here, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel." Preach the gospel. Matter of fact, anytime you're preaching the gospel, it's got to be wisdom of God. Amen. Because it was through the foolishness of preaching that God chose to save me. And we'll see that tonight. But he says, with wisdom of words. Have you ever heard preachers that preach and they have such swelling words? People like to hear that. They don't like to hear a blunt, straightforward preacher that don't have no tact. I've been accused of that so many times. I think I've told this before. I was preaching and pastoring, and they had a meeting, and every time I turned around, he's having a meeting. I'd say, "What's wrong?" And they said, "You are." And they had a problem with me. Now, some of y'all may have a problem, but don't tell me. Praise God. Just pray for me. Amen. And if it makes you feel any better, I have a problem with me every once in a while too. Amen. God deals with me, and I get to thinking, what am I going to have to do, Lord, to get this straightened out? You don't do this, I know. I get a bad spirit about me every once in a while. You don't, do you? You don't get a bad feeling about the things of God. And I do. And the Holy Spirit, you said, I don't never have. That's because you ain't listening to the Spirit of God. You let Him talk to you. Amen. He sizes me up pretty strong sometimes. Amen. So I'm looking at this thing and I see what Paul's saying. He said, he gets up and talks about it's not with wisdom of words. Some preachers have got the wisdom of words. They say such words, you say, boy, he knows how to describe it like it really is. Well, you can describe things and it's not the fancy words you've got to say. What do you have to say that's got some truth in it? Amen. Now, for years, I preached and pastored and probably would do it now if I had any strength to do it. But I'd rear back and preach, and amen, I preach so hard that I just have to stop every once in a while and get my breath. I just like to keep a steady pace now and keep breathing. Amen. Not try to get my breath. And there's been a few times I'd run and shout and holler. I still do a little of shouting. I don't do much of running. Amen. The more I get into this thing, the more I'd rather just stand and preach it where you can hear me and understand me. And that's hoopla. I guess that's what you want to call it. We have a lot of that. Somebody said, "They some of these preachers, you ever heard these?" Now, I'm not knocking anybody's preaching. But there's some of them what I call hackers. I didn't say smokers, hackers. They'll say, "The Lord said, ha, come to me and I'll, ha, save you." Amen. Now, some folks I've heard say, "I just don't like that kind of preaching." Well, I've been under it so many years, it don't bother me. Only thing is, I just ain't my style. Amen. They could preach another 30 minutes off the hacks. They could quote more scripture if you get rid of some of the hacks. Now, I'm not knocking them. And if you've got a cousin or uncle or a brother or a friend that's a preacher, I'm not knocking them. They got their start that way. Matter of fact, 40 years ago, about everyone that preached was a hacker. Amen. And it didn't bother you then. But I'm one of those, and I'm not trying to pattern my life after anybody. Many years ago, I patterned my life after a preacher I liked to hear, and I'd run his course with, you know, try to preach like he preached, and then I'd run into another, and I'd like his style, and I'd try to, amen, imitate that. Troy, if you ever get him off to the side sometimes, he can imitate a lot of preachers. Yeah. Amen. I can't get him to imitate me. I think he's respectful to me, and I appreciate that. But I understand he can imitate me. Amen. But I'm saying that you can do it. Until I was doing that for a long time, and then I got a hold of this preacher, and he preached with his eyes shut. Shouted and moved around and had his eyes shut. And one day I tried that, and I like to fell off the stage. And I found out, boy, you better keep your eyes open in the pulpit. Amen. Not necessarily so much looking at the people. Sometimes I'm looking at you and ain't paying no attention to it. And I like that because sometimes you think I'm eyeballing you. And sometimes I do see you. And sometimes I don't. But I'm not up here to see you. I'm up here to do a job that God gave me to do. And it's not with the wisdom of man's words. I see I ain't going to get what I said I was going to do tonight. I'm already got bogged down. But now look at chapter 1 in verse number 18 and 19. Paul said, "For the preaching of the cross." Now, in verse number 17, it was to preach the gospel. And you can't preach the gospel without preaching the cross. And he said, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. By the way, that's why people don't want to hear the preaching of the word of God today, because they think it's foolish. They think preaching is foolishness. A little old fella I worked with on a public job, I said, I come to work the next morning, and I said, oh boy, and it was on Monday morning, and I said, we'd had a great service last night. He said, you did? I said, yes, sir, brother. We had just about a tear-down, drag-out meeting. He said, what? I said, yeah, everybody got happy. We was having testimonies and people are shouting and praising God. And he said, that ain't my kind of church. He said, I believe you ought to be dignified when you go to church. He said, my way of worshiping God is going in, sitting down on the pew and listening to the preacher preach and listening to it and keeping my mouth shut. I said, if it stirs you up, you don't say nothing. He said, I don't say nothing. I said, what do you do at the ball game? He said, it's the difference between the church and the ball game. I said, yeah, they are. What do you do at the ball game? You keep your mouth shut and get dignified? He said, no, I get involved with my team. I said, that's what I do when I go to church. Amen. Amen. And I won't tell you, that's right. Praise God, I get excited. But anyhow, he goes on to say in verse 19, and here it comes again. He said, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. Now we've had the wisdom of words. Now we got the wisdom of the wise. And we'll bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. That's one that don't know much, you know. He said, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. That's what Paul is saying here. God's going to destroy the wisdom of the wise. Those who know or think they're wise, God's going to destroy that. I'm not going to heaven because I know something. I'm going to heaven because I know somebody. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. I can dot the I's and cross the T's on a lot of things in the Bible. There's a lot of things I can't even see the I's or the T's. You understand? But I'm going to heaven because one day I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ and believed upon him, and the blood of Jesus Christ washed away my sin and cleansed me and made me a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. Amen. Now, to believe that is wisdom. Not to believe it is opposite. Amen. Be a foolish thing to deny Christ tonight. Amen. You know, there's been a lot of people, I guess if you really checked into it, and I've read after some of them, I didn't know that they were till after I'd done learned some things from them, but there's atheists tonight that have got some kind of wisdom on certain things, but they don't have no wisdom above, from God. Amen. They just can't see that. I mean, evolutionists, people that teach that, that's got to be foolish for people to look at that and believe that man come from a monkey. Amen. Somebody said, you believe in evolution? Well, you know I don't believe in evolution. But I have changed my mind about it. I believe we are evolving backwards. Instead of coming from monkeys, we're going back to them, looks like. Amen. From all I've understood and seen. Amen. It's amazing to me how people seem to be so foolish. Amen. I tell you right now, I think it's just a frog and got under a tree, climbed up the tree and turned into a monkey, growed a tail, hung to the limb and hanging there for a while. Your tail fell off and you dropped off and went to JCPenney and got you a suit. Come back down and said, hey, I'm a man. You said, that's crazy. Absolutely. Amen. But hey, we see all this stuff. But we're looking at this, and he says, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, see, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Then in verse 20, he says, where is the wise? Are you like me tonight? It's hard to find who the wise are. I meet a lot of them and think they're wise. I've met people I thought was wise, And then I watch the way they live and the foolishness that they do in their life. And I say, there can't be too much wisdom in that. Wise people, amen. You just look at this thing tonight. You take a fella that has been a drunkard all his life. And he may claim he knows God. He may claim that. Some of them do. Most of the time a drunkard will tell you he's a drunkard anyhow. And he don't think too highly of himself. But you think about this just a minute. He don't have too much wisdom wasting his life. Look at somebody else that's, amen. I mean, there's some of the smartest people in the community, some of the smartest people on jobs, and they can really do a lot of things. These people knows how to, little old thing that I know I have a problem with. I'm not into drones, but I've owned a few, and every drone I've ever flown has bit the dust. I'm not too smart on drones. I can't figure out how they can take them drones and do what of course you said you ought to get a high price one. I can't even fly a $10 one. They don't make them that way now, but I remember when you could get them that way. You see what I'm talking about? But I've seen people that's smart to do them kind of things. They can, a matter of fact, I understand that they're making all these pictures. You used to take them airplanes and fly over your house and put that on the net. Now they do drones. I learned that Ukraine takes them drones and pinpoints them and blows up them, not helicopters, but the tanks. Pinpoint accuracy. And I can't do that. That's pretty smart. But you'd be smart enough to fly a drone and die and go to hell. You understand what I'm saying? It's not the wisdom of God. It's the wisdom of the world and the wisdom of man and the wisdom of words. And these people are having all those things. So I'm at the place in my life, and I guess you are too. Where in the world is the wise? Who is the wise? Well, a wise person is always somebody that's been birthed into the family of God, knows the Lord Jesus Christ, has repented of their sin, has called upon the Lord, has been birthed and had that second birth of that new birth. Amen. They've always, you can't say a man's wise if he's ignored Christ and walked away from him and rejected the Lord Jesus. That's not wisdom. That's foolishness. It's right opposite. Where's the wise? Where's the scribe? Where's the disputer of this world? And then it says, hath not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? He's made foolish the wisdom of the world. Now what have we seen? We've seen now the wisdom of words in verse number 17. We found the wisdom of the wise in verse 19. And now we talk about the wisdom of the world in verse number 20. So what have you got? Who is the wise? And then look for it says in 21, verse 21, for after that, in the wisdom of God. Now there's another one. That's the one you need to look at. The wisdom of God. Have you seen the word wisdom now mentioned four times and just from verse 17 down to verse number 21? So the word wisdom may get your attention, but is it the wisdom of God? If you don't have the wisdom of God, you're in trouble. Verse 21 again says, for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Now, people don't understand why a preacher can get up and sweat and slobber, scream and holler, look crazy. Amen. I realize that. Back yonder years ago, I used to think, I used to not like to listen to myself preach. Still don't like to listen to myself preach, but I listen to see what kind of mess I make of it every now and then. And it helps me. But I look at this. I remember back yonder years ago, and I'd look at it and I'd think, Lord have mercy, that's foolishness. And to the world it is, but not to the child of God. One thing about Christians who love God, they love the preaching of the Word of God. Amen. That's why I major on preaching. That's why we go to churches and we major on preaching. And we don't major on singing. major on preaching. I love singing. Matter of fact, I was talking to the undertaker today. And I said to him, I said something about funerals. I told him, I said, when you come to pick me up, when I expire. Amen. When I decease, in other words, when I die, amen. I said, when you come to get me, look down at my face. You may have to open my eyes, but when you see my eyes, just remember I'm looking up at you and say, thank you for coming after me. He just laughed and dropped back. He said, ooh, like that. I said, all right. And I said, you know, funerals are different now. He said, yes, sir. He said, I've noticed a big change in funerals. And he said, since COVID coming, I said, now wait just a minute. Let's go stop. It got different before. It got different before COVID come along. It did. Amen. Do you remember when it was a strange thing for people to have a funeral at the funeral home? When I was a boy, they used to bring the bodies back to the house. Some of y'all remember that? Oh, yeah. They'd bring bodies back to the house and they'd stay up all night with them. Amen. And then they changed that and they'd have those funerals at the church house. You remember that? Everybody that is a Christian, so-called, had any means to them, you guess what they did? They went to the house of God, or at least they didn't, but they took them to the house of God and they had their funeral. If a church wasn't big enough, they stood up on the outside. That's the way they did it. Then they took them to the funeral, to the graveside. You remember them days? Well, they quit that. And then they started going. I remember some of my family members, we had their funerals in the house of God. And then we quit doing that. And some of them, now when they die, we just go to the funeral home and have their funeral. My wife, we didn't take her nowhere except to the graveyard because of COVID. That changed things. I understand that. They changed that. But one reason, and so anyhow, this undertaker said to me, he said, it's hard to have a funeral now when you have somebody to sing and have regular music now. Said, we always have to play some kind of soundtrack or something now. It's hard to get people to sing at funerals anymore. And I looked at him and I said, well, did you know that's what happened? I said, years ago, they got the choir of the church to come and sing. People got off in jobs and come and sung. And groups sung and people sung. They got away from the choirs and started getting specials. Me and my wife used to sing at a lot of funerals. And we'd go do that. And then we'd, go to the graveside. Well, what's happened? They've quit that. Now they're piping in music. And I said, do you know why they're doing that? And he said, why? I said, because most churches now don't have much singing know-how. They're playing it off of soundtracks. And I got hung in that here at this church one time. And I had to stop it because soundtracks, they pipe in the outside world of music to those soundtracks, even though they're Christian songs. Amen. And so we don't do that. And that's why that's not popular. People don't like people stand like that for me. Now, guess why they quit going to church? You know why they quit going to church and started having them all at the funeral home? Amen. Because of the dress standard. Preachers wouldn't let the women come in dressed like a man. That may make some of you mad, but that's where we are. And that's why today we're where we are. Amen. Think about that. Because funeral home don't cut nothing. They don't tell you not to do this, not do that. Why, if you want to stand on the ceiling, they'll let you. They got the money. They want the money. Amen. Now, that's not popular preaching, but I'm not popular. Amen. But I believe what I'm preaching. All right? Let's go on. Time's going to get me. Amen. You said, I hope so. Yep, it will. One of these days I'll draw my last breath because of time. All right, verse number 22. He said, for the Jews require a sign and the Greeks seek after wisdom. Now, you got Greek wisdom now. Or wisdom of this would be wisdom of men, if you will. And so you look at that, all kinds of wisdom in chapter 1. Do you agree with me tonight that 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and 2 is the wisdom chapter of the New Testament? Amen. Now, look at verse number 23. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called both Jews and Gentiles, or both Jews and Greeks, by the way, Greeks and Gentiles are the same. It's not a Jew is his own entity. And a Greek is a Gentile, or a Gentile can be a Greek or something else. But what is a Gentile is a non-Jew. I don't know how to say it other than that. But unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Here we are again, the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen, amen, the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And it just goes on and on and on with it. But look at verse 30. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Now we know where our wisdom comes from. It comes from Christ. And you know what? The wisdom of God, it gives you a description of it. Can I take just a few moments to show you what the evidence of this wisdom of God is? Right here it is. He's saying in verse number 30, he said, who of God is made unto us wisdom. Christ is our wisdom. We wouldn't know anything without him. We wouldn't even know that we was lost and we'd die and go to hell had he not revealed it to us. And he's also our righteousness. So wisdom, people who are wise and have the wisdom of God, live right. That's what righteousness is, living right. Living according to the word of God. Amen. I had a conversation and my brother is sitting there today and I said something, people have this problem. I said, mainly everybody's got a sin problem. And I said, do you know what sin is? And he said, yeah, it's just doing wrong. I said, what's the Bible say sin is? And he's just looking at me and I said, the Bible said sin is a transgression of the law. And you transgress the law of God. What is the law of God? Anything God says in this book. Amen. God's got it. So righteousness is living right. That means you're not transgressing the law of God. And sanctification, being set apart. And redemption, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look at this thing tonight. I appreciate what God does for us. What he's done for me. What he's doing for me. And what he's going to do for me. And I rejoice in the Lord. I have no strength in myself. I'm a nothing. I'm a nobody. I don't know much. But what I do know, amen, I give God the glory for it. Amen. And I have some wisdom of God. Amen. I'm not a wise man by no means, but I have the wisdom of God in the things of the Lord. Now listen to me. Many of you tonight, you'd whip your children for some of the things that you do if they did the same things to you. I'm going to let that sink in just a minute. I want you to catch this. You tell your child you want him to do this or you tell her to do that. And if they don't do it, of course, we're living in a modern day, you may not do nothing. You do what most of them do now, you tell them again. And you tell them again, and you tell them again. But now when I come up, they didn't tell you. They made me do it. My dear old daddy, he said, this is going to hurt me worse than it hurts you. And I never have figured that out yet. Except when I got my kids and I whipped them, I felt how I felt because I had to administer punishment. Well, you know what? God has told you a lot of times in the Bible what to do, and you said, I don't really care. I don't pay no attention to that preacher. I don't like what he said, so I'm not going to do what he says. Well, remember this. When you don't do what the Bible says do, it's not me you're taking it out on. It's God. And when you keep telling the Lord you're not going to do it when he tells you need to do it, you're not sinning against the preacher nor a church. You're sinning against God. And it scares me to think about what I'm going to have to face God with when I stand at the judgment bar. What we call the judgment seat of Christ. Amen. I don't know about you, but it bothers me. Somebody said, I don't care. That don't worry me about judgment seat of my saved life. That's what I worry about the most. Amen. I'm excited about the rapture, but I'm not excited about the judgment seat. Amen. My record is sealed on what I've already done, and I can't change that. I can make up my mind I'm going to not continue to do those things, and I'm going to change that. But I'm going to have to give account for the things, well, the Bible said, the deeds done in my body, whether they're good or bad. Amen. I'll close on that note. I didn't get through, but I close on it. All right? Heads bowed. Father, touch us tonight. Lord, we thank you for the privilege of prayer. Lord, we thank you for the Word of God that's so real. I pray you'd touch our heart and our life. And use us in a mighty way, God. Take this message and drive it home to the heart. Drive it home to the soul. And Lord, surely you spoke to somebody tonight. And I pray, God, they'd be willing to listen to you and pay attention to what you had to say. Lord, may we not tonight walk away from it, but may we do what you tell us to do. We'll give you the glory and the praise. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Stand while they play.